Please turn with me in your copies of God's Word to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using your Pew Bible, you can find today's passage on 1032. We'll be looking this morning at Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. So hear now the word of God. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Let us once again bow our heads and seek the Lord's blessing. Our gracious Lord and Father, we pray that as we come to these words written by your servant Matthew so long ago, we pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to understand your truth. May you give us guidance and direction. And may you, Father, bless my mind and my mouth, that I may think and speak your word clearly this morning. And it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. When I was at the University of Kansas, my first path that I was trying to take was to go into the medical field and follow after my footsteps, follow in the footsteps of one of my grandfathers who was a doctor. And so to go along that path and that line, I had to take biology courses. And one of the biology courses I taught, one of the few things that I remember was about a tree, and its name is Ginkgo biloba. And the Ginkgo biloba tree has a fruit that smells horrible. It's pollinated by flies. And that stuck in my mind because there was a section of the campus that decided to put several of these trees along the path. So a certain time of year when the fruit was out, and you could just tell that what time of year it was because the fruit was coming out. It didn't really smell all that great. It was easy to tell. I was near some Ginkgo biloba trees because their fruit was present and I could smell them, and it was not pleasant, it was not pretty. But the Ginkgo biloba tree was designed that way. It was being a good Ginkgo biloba tree. But I could know that tree by the smell of its fruit. And as Jesus teaches here in these verses, he uses that type of illustration for us to be able to see and understand that we're dealing maybe with a false prophet, a false teacher. You will know them by their fruits. Use the analogy of a tree, that a tree produces a certain kind of fruit. You will know them by their fruit. And so as we look at these verses this morning, the theme we'll be looking at is to beware of false prophets and their evil fruit. To beware of false prophets and their evil fruit. And we'll be dividing these verses up into just 2 points. The first is to beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. The second being, you will know them by their fruit. So the first point, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. We see this in the opening of verse of this morning's text. Chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Now, as we begin to look at this text, the first question that comes to mind is Jesus warns about false prophets. Well, we have to understand, what does he mean by a prophet? What is a prophet? Now, whenever we hear the word prophet or we see it written, you know, rightly so, our mind is drawn back to the really high-named, prominent prophets of the Old Testament. We think of Elijah, we think of Jeremiah, we think of Isaiah, and the prophets that were used by God to write his word. Yes, The office of prophet had those higher prophets, you might say, that were called to a special and specific task. But as we consider a prophet and what the main focus of their work was, even those high-profile prophets, what were they doing but simply taking the law of God and applying it to the situation at hand, applying it to the circumstance at hand? Sometimes they would get a new revelation as God was writing his word and use it to apply to the situation, but the vast majority of their work was to look at what was going on in their society and in their community and to tell them it's not lining up to what God gave us. And the vast majority of the work of the prophet was simply that. To comment on a particular society, what was going on there in the nation of Israel, in a specific circumstance, in the light of God's word. Now, as I said, some of them had an extraordinary calling, called to do extraordinary things. But the vast majority of the prophets probably simply just took God's word and applied it to the situation. So that's what the prophet's role was, taking the word of God and applying it to a given situation. And Jesus here warns us of false prophets. Another way that we might think of them is simply as false teachers. They're false teachers. And they come to us in sheep's clothing. And what does sheep's clothing mean? What does it mean to be wearing sheep's clothing? Well, we can think of it in this way, that they look from all intents and purposes on the outside like someone who is right and good and righteous and walking according to a right path. Maybe they have a good conduct. They're really loving, really encouraging. But deep down inside, they are ravenous wolves. They have ulterior motives. It's a purposeful action. They're dressing themselves up in nice, beautiful clothing and good works and good actions, but inside they're seeking to devour those that they are coming into contact with. A few weeks ago, Alicia and I sold one of our cars, a Toyota Camry, and we upgraded to a minivan back at the end of the summer, and Alicia very dutifully did all the research and the negotiating for the minivan and got us a great deal. It was my job now to sell the Camry. And I am not a good negotiator at all. And so I got everything written up, took some pictures of the car, put it on Craigslist, and within 10 minutes, I had about three different offers, and people wanted to see it, so I set up a couple of appointments. And it had some mechanical problems, so we priced it really low already. And the first guy came in the morning, and he looked at the car, drove it around. I told him everything that was wrong with it, and we agreed on a price that was lower than our listed one, and he bought it. So I called the other guy I set up an appointment with and just said, sorry, it's been sold. And within about a couple of hours, a second guy called me back. And he said, I think your car's been listed again. I was like, what? So he sent me a link, and sure enough, there's my car, the same license plate, same color, and for about $1,500 more, or about $600 more than what I had sold it for. And the description was claiming that they'd owned it for 4 years, it was a great car, no big mechanical problems, and would run and be fine. I was deceived. Someone showed up when looking very nice and wonderful. Even brought along their loving father, who had white hair and looked loving and good, and told me a sob story about how they needed a car, and so we agreed on a lower price. But in fact, they just turned around and sold it. And actually, as the story goes, the person who put it again on Craigslist was the third person to try and sell it that day, because they had sold it to him, who now he was trying to sell it to somebody else. See, there are these. This is the kind of the day-to-day situation that I think that what Jesus is saying here, it kind of applies. There are people out there who dress in sheep's clothing, but are inside are ravenous wolves, seeking to take advantage in any way that they can. But as Jesus here is teaching about the church, He's teaching his disciples. You know, sadly, that truth is not in the world. It's not there in the world, but in the church. We're fine and we're clear from this. No. There are ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing in the church, in the visible church, proclaiming to be Christ's servants. Yet inside are ravenous wolves. This is why we must be on guard. This is why Jesus begins with the word, beware, watch out, be on guard. For his church will be filled, or have in it, ravenous wolves dressed as beautiful sheep. This then leads us to our second point. You know, if Jesus had just ended there, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves, it would leave us wondering, well, how do we tell? How do we know? How do we know Jesus, the false prophet, rather than the true prophet? Well, that's what he gets at then with the illustration. First, saying you will recognize them by their fruits. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 11, then 18 through 19, we read these words concerning Jesus, or Jesus' teaching concerning what defiles a person. And this relates to the false prophets and their fruit. Where does their fruit come from? Well, Jesus teaches, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Then in verse 18, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. This is in line with the teaching from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. This is the point of Jesus' illustration back in Matthew chapter 7 of the fruit in the tree. He first of all starts out with the illustration of the type of plant and the type of fruit it's supposed to produce, whereas he says, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Well, the answer is no. That's the answer he's expecting. No, these things aren't gathered from them. Those plants will produce their fruit however way God has designed it, and grapes come from vines. And the grape plant. But then he goes on to say that every healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a diseased tree bear good fruit. The fruit that we bear, the fruit that we bear in this life, comes from our heart. That is why we're commanded to beware of false prophets. We're commanded in Proverbs to watch over our heart with all diligence. Because from it flow the springs of life. It is where our fruit comes from. In the teaching that Jesus gave about that fruit back in Matthew 15, people were upset with the disciples because they weren't washing their hands before they ate, which was a ritual of the Pharisees and the scribes had. And Jesus' teaching there is, you're judging by the wrong thing. It's not what enters someone and that enters their mouth and is destroyed in their belly that causes someone to be unclean, but from what proceeds out of their mouth and what proceeds out of their heart. For that is the source of our fruit. Well, what is the fruit of the false prophet? The fruit of the false prophet, as we looked at the scriptures earlier in the service, first of all in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, those verses were talking about, it's basically boils down to bad theology. The test that was given there, that God gave of the false prophet at that instance, is that God allowed whatever the false prophet said to come true, whatever he prophesied came true, but in conjunction with that coming true, what that false prophet was doing was teaching the people of God to go away from him, to go and serve other gods. So it was bad theology. It wasn't according to what God had commanded. And so that was the sign, that was the fruit of the false prophet. It was bad theology. So if anyone comes to you and says, we need to go this way, and you know that it is not according to the word of God, it is not what God teaches, then you know that person is, quote unquote, a false prophet and not to be listened to. Another thing that in the other passages we looked at, especially in the Jeremiah passage, chapter 23, verses 9 to 15, their fruit there is bad ethics, a bad morality. The Lord there in the Jeremiah passage is lamenting because the prophets and the teachers of Israel are worse than the prophets and teachers of the false nations, of the nations who had false gods. They were not living according to, they were preaching, maybe they were preaching what is right, but their life was completely opposite and contrary to the scriptures. So they had a bad morality. They were not following the commands of God. And that is the fruit that we see in the false prophets. It is a bad theology, a bad teaching, or it's a bad morality. Their life is not in line with the scriptures. Well, what will happen to false prophets? Jesus shows us pretty clearly in also in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 19 through 20. Here we read, beginning in 18, "In the morning, as he was returning to the city, he became hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, 'May no fruit ever come from you again.' And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How did the fig tree wither at once?'" So in that account, as Jesus is walking along the road with his disciples, seeing a fig tree, he is hungry, so he goes to the fig tree to gather fruit. Well, the fig tree didn't produce fruit like it was supposed to. And so he commands, he gives an order and a word, and the tree withers away and dies. That's the end of the false teachers. That's the end of the false prophets. That's the end of their teaching. That's the end of their way of life. That it leads to destruction. So how do we guard ourselves then? As Jesus gives us a warning to beware false prophets, to beware false teachers and their teaching and their way of life, how then are we to be on guard? Well, the answer comes from a couple of scripture passages. First of all, in Joshua 1:8. In Joshua 1:8, God commands Joshua, as he is taking up the mantle Moses left behind to lead the people, God says to him, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Then also in 1 John 4:1 through 3, we read these words, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." There, John's teaching, which is echoed in Joshua 1:8, God's command to Joshua to immerse himself in the Word. That's what it boils down to. He's to follow the commands of God, follow after them, just meditate on his words, the words of his law, so that he might make his way prosperous. Then he will have success. It's not referring to necessarily a material success or a physical success, but at being successful in the eyes of God and following after his way and doing what he commands and what he loves and he cherishes. But then in 1 John 4, 1 to 3, those verses, there John's command there is to specifically test the spirits, to make sure that what they are hearing is from God. And he again references the false prophets that have gone out into the world. You see, they were to cling to, Joshua was to cling to the standard of God's word to know what to do and to know what he should, directions he should go in his life. So too, in 1 John chapter 4, we are commanded to hold fast to the Word of God, specifically the gospel as it has been revealed. There the false teachers were saying that there are other ways to heaven besides Jesus Christ. But the test here is that a spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. In both, we are commanded to hold fast to the Word of God as our standard, the truth of God. I have another Craigslist illustration to maybe explain this. My parents were selling some antiques that they had accumulated, and my sisters were helping them by getting onto Craigslist and putting them online. And they had somebody contacted my sister and said they're interested in a certain record player, old record player, stereo thing. And it was kind of shady. They weren't really sure what the messages was meant. It was kind of cryptic, and he wanted to pay the amount. He wanted to see it, and he ended up listing out these things. He wasn't able to come by himself, but he was going to send somebody to come pick it up and things like that. So my sister asked Leisha and I, like, does this look okay? And we weren't really sure. So they go into another friend who does a lot of selling on Craigslist, has a lot of knowledge and understanding of how things on Craigslist work and what you're supposed to do, the kind of the signs to look out for. And she immediately said, no, avoid this. Like, do not sell to this person. It's a scam. See, they went to a higher authority of Craigslist than Alicia and I could offer. They went to someone who had a great understanding of the inner workings and the policies of Craigslist and what to look out for. They went to a trusted source, a dear friend who was able to guide and direct them. And so, brothers and sisters, what we have to ask ourselves, what is our trusted source? What is our trusted source? What do we fall back on? What do we look to? These scriptures tell us to look to God's Word, to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, to have that be our trusted source, to have that be our guiding light, the lamp unto our feet. You know, my hope is, brothers and sisters, that each and every one of you is in the Word, part for your own spiritual benefit, but also for the spiritual benefit of this church. You know, I am a fallible human being. I can make mistakes. It's very good to have people listening who know the Word of God and are able to hear and come to me and say, well, what about this? Doesn't this maybe might go against what God says here? We can talk about it, and I could be wrong and have to come back and correct a mistake. It is important that we know the Word of God, especially now as we're dawning upon a new year. This is the last Lord's Day in 2012. Beginning 2013, the next week, we are called, brothers and sisters, to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, to guard our hearts and our minds, to make sure that what we are hearing is from the Word of God, to make sure what we are hearing is according to the truth, that we may grow, that we may flourish in the household of God. The only way to know the fruit of a false prophet is evil or not, is to know what the standard is. And the standard is none other than the Word of God. We must be immersed in this to know what the fruit is of those who would profess Jesus Christ, but be inwardly ravenous wolves. As we draw to a close, brothers and sisters, as we consider false prophets, false teachers, people that might lead us astray or not lead us astray, and their evil fruit, what I want us to leave here with is just that understanding and that commitment to the Word of God. That is the fertile soil from which a tree rooted in the Word of God will grow and flourish. That will bear fruit in its season, healthy, good fruit. But I also want us to be encouraged that if we are in Christ, if we have professed faith in Him, as He is the vine and we are the branches, that in the course of time in our life, as the Lord works upon us, we will bear the fruit of that precious vine. But in order for us to recognize that fruit for what it is, in order for us to know what it is, we must know the standard to which we may judge the fruit and see if it's good or if it's evil. And the only way we can adequately know if the fruit is good or if the fruit is evil is by being in the Word of God. So, brothers and sisters, let us beware of false prophets, and let us beware of their evil fruit, not being led astray by them, but holding fast to the firm truth of God's Word. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these verses, and we pray that you would, Lord, help us to hold fast to your truth. That is the only way that we can adequately come to know the evil fruit of the false prophets that would lead us astray. We pray, Father, that we would grow in our knowledge and understanding of your Word. May you guide and direct our every step according to the light of your truth. And may we, Father, as 2013 begins to dawn here this week, we pray, Lord, that we would make even greater effort to be in your Word daily, meditating upon your truth, reading and understanding the precious truths of Scripture. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.